This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Who gonna check me, boo?
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol.
Now go to sleep, wee.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld, and I am still pretty full from last night's Buca di Beppo.
Barry and I are both Italian food hungover from our major deliveries from Buca di Beppo.
Major is an understatement, you guys. This was food for like all of you could have come over and eaten it.
Okay, so obviously last night was Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It was Dorit's big Capri Room reveal. And Buca di Beppo reached out to us last week. This is not sponsored, but Buca
this is
Beppo,
not an ad.
Hit us up. So they DM'd on Instagram and they were like, hey, do you want to try out this brand new Capri package to celebrate the launch of the thing? And we were like, yes. And so we didn't know what it was going to be. I was thinking it was going to be like maybe some food, but like just like a little bit of food and like some fake lemons and it's the Capri Room. I don't know.
Like merch, maybe like a sweatshirt.
So Barry, you went to pick yours up in person.
Yeah. So what happened was they gave us like a delivery time, but we still didn't know at this point if it was food or not. So I called them. I was like, you know what? I'm very impatient. Let me call them. They were so freaking nice. I can't even explain it. Like beyond nice. So I went there to pick it up because it would have been easier for me. I went to the Times Square location and I was like, I can't believe I'm like here, even though like it's not the one that Dorit like decorated, but whatever. And also like, I can't believe I'm here. I could have went there any time in my entire life, but right now it's just a different feeling. So even the guy there was like so nice and he handed me like 2 massive bags and I was like, oh my God, like, thank you so much. So I put it in the car, of course, took a influencer picture in front of Buca di Beppo with my 2 bags. My stomach almost turned inside out on the way home because it smelled so fucking good that all I wanted to do was pull over and eat it. But I had to wait till I got home. And
so each of us got 2 massive takeout bags stuffed to the brim. I ate like a normal size person dinner plus probably more than I should have eaten. And I have so much food in my refrigerator. It's honestly, it's really good. I mean, it's like exactly what you would want it to be. I don't know.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I obviously have a lot of dietary restrictions. So I just ate the spaghetti that they gave us. However, my parents thrived at dinner last night and they were like, and like we got 2 salads, like fried mozzarella, tomato mozz, like chicken piccata, salmon. Guys, I'm not kidding. Like it was amazing. And like the customer service adds to it. I can't even describe it.
So speaking of Buca di Beppo, we have the ladies of Beverly Hills at Buca di Beppo last night. And obviously Dorit was very excited. I think it's a little funny that this just happened to be Teddy's surprise baby shower at Buca di Beppo.
I think honestly, she did it. Oh, okay.
Dorit and Teddy are not even that close of friends.
Right. Well, that's so why it was funny because like in Rome, Dorit was like, I have a great idea. Like the room is done. Like, so she was like, where can I reveal this while production is there?
I think they would have done it on camera anyway, but the fact that it was like another event on top of, if it was just the Buca di Beppo reveal, I feel like that would have been like a small scene. And Dorit got like basically a whole episode at this Buca di Beppo.
Okay, but the confusing part was it was decorated for the shower, the baby shower. So I was like, I'm not getting a full feel of the room because like there's pink tablecloths and like flowers everywhere, which isn't part of the Capri room. But I was like, this is so nice. Of course, Kyle goes, do I feel like I was transported to Capri? No.
I mean, where is the lie? Like, I will say the Buca di Beppo average decor style is really not for me. And I think Dorit's is an improvement. Do I think it's like some luxurious, you're transported to the Isle of Capri? Not really. she did what she could with what she was given. And, you know,
and she's very proud. Very
So at this baby shower, Kyle and Dorit are there setting up and they're acting like they don't know whether Denise is going to come. And in my mind, I'm like, they all knew Denise wasn't going to come. Like, there was no way.
Yes, but I, of course, don't like the fact that as a grown woman, Denise decided to FaceTime like while the baby shower was starting. Like, that's not how you do it. That's not what you do. Like, if you knew you weren't going, so give some time in advance. Not that any of them were shocked. They were like, oh, you're not? Okay.
Denise's whole saying she was sick to get out of it had a very mean girl's cough, cough, I'm sick.
Well, and they even said, Teddy was like, take the high road. Just be like, listen, I'm not comfortable yet. Like, I don't want to come. Like, we know you're not sick. Like, get a new excuse.
I did think it was interesting. If it had just been Dorit's party, it would have been more of a question of whether Denise should go. But it's like, no, Denise shouldn't go to Teddy's baby shower. They hate each other right now.
No, she shouldn't. She made the right decision by not going.
We do see quickly, I want to note, we see Amelia talking to Lisa Rinna, and they're kind of going through what Garcelle said, and Amelia's like absolving her mom of any wrongdoing. Little tidbit, Amelia is moving out and her rent is $5,700 a month. I can't.
I don't have a comment, but
I can't.
I do have to say though, speaking of them, I like jotted this down because I want to do it if and when I go to California. That fucking workout they did in the beginning of the episode, the Sandbox Fitness where they're like surfing. I was like, how California is that? And also, holy crap, that looks so cool and not just something that like New York wouldn't have. They were literally working out on surfboards on the sand, but like in a gym. It was very cool.
I've done one of those workouts. Have you ever done that little like fake surfboard thing that's like on a little platform that you have to balance on?
I know what you're talking about, but have I partaken in that? No.
I've done it once. I had none of the necessary core strength to do it well. But you know, it was fun.
Okay, great.
So we're back at the baby shower. Kim Richards shows up looking cute as hell, honestly. Whatever Kim is doing is working for me. I think she looks great.
She got plastic surgery.
That is working for me. And Kim and Lisa have a nice moment. I love that they can be, you know, cordial and laugh with each other. Lisa brings a bunny and Kim is laughing about it.
Because they did the flashback from when Lisa brought the original bunny to Kim's. And it's the funniest thing when she goes, I brought you, this is for your grandchild. And like, just the way she presented, this is for your grandchild. Like, who says that? But Rinna's look was one of my favorite looks this whole season at this baby shower.
Oh,
just
really?
Side note. Yeah, I loved the hair. I loved the look. I really did. I loved it. And I loved how it was low key because it was like a baby shower. She wasn't like going to impress anyone, which let's be real, they all are, but that was my favorite look. So.
She did look good. She really, I feel like this season she's done a lot more different like wigs and hairstyles and stuff. And it's not always a slam dunk for me, but I do appreciate that she has fun with her look.
Yeah.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. We have just entered spring, and while I don't love that the weather outside is still a little bit cold, you know the silver lining of that is that I have had a few more chances to wear my Quince cashmere before it gets too warm, and I just love throwing that on, whether it's by itself, a little layering moment with a t-shirt under, with a jacket over, with a bigger coat over. The cashmere is the perfect thing to just add to any outfit to make it look a little more pulled together. And the way that Quince prices their items, it doesn't feel like it has to be this wild thing that you're splurging on. It is so nice to have those pieces in your wardrobe that feel luxurious, but come at a price point that you can stomach. It's 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50. They also have organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and also timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes the savings on to us. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/mention for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/mention to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/mention.
So all the women are there, and it was like, did you know what, Kyle's speech was like not a speech. It was just like, Teddy, like, you're a great mom. I love you. And I was like, wow, that was so nice. And then I thought on the life of me, I could have sworn that Dorit was then going to get up and say something also, because she made it very known that the baby shower was from both of them, even though like. Right.
If Dorit had made a speech, it would have been like, Teddy, we're so happy that you're here at my Capri room in Buca di Beppo.
Oh my God, you're so right. But you want to know what, I want to know your feelings on this, because I really, really didn't prefer this at all. Okay. The baby shower goes on. There wasn't much to it. Okay. It was great. Yay.
It's then Teddy's baby shower. What do you expect?
God. So Brandy comes, which was great because she like missed the baby shower, but that's fine. She came, she was invited, and then like she was like, can I stop by? And they were like,
so weird. Yeah, like, she had a gift.
You were invited. I think she obviously was avoiding. No one told her, which again, if we were in this friend group, we would have done this. Someone should have sent a text to Brandy being like, hey, FYI, like Denise isn't coming. So you, if you feel comfortable, come. I think that's what happened.
It's weird that they made Kim be like, she's in the area. It's like, she was invited. She's on her way.
She was invited to the baby shower. This is the weirdest thing ever. But all of Teddy's friends who are not part of the cast, but who were invited to the shower, were all like, we can go. Should we go? We can go. Should we go? Should we go? And like, I was like, what is happening? Because I have been to parties, et cetera, where like it fades, you know, the party's over, but everyone's just hanging out, which is kind of what it seemed like was happening. But for them to, because they wanted to talk about Brandy's situation, and Brandy was the one that said, there's a lot of people at this table that I don't know, which I actually thought was pretty big of Brandy to do, because she usually just like says whatever.
Yeah.
And all of the front, and basically Teddy was like, yeah, like now's a good time for you to go. And I was like, I would be so pissed. Like if that was me with my friends there, like, first of all, I'd be like, no, we're fucking here. I want to hear this tea. And second of all, I'd be like, wait, we're getting like kicked out because you guys want to have a private conversation.
It was so, yeah. If anything, they should have been like, okay, let's go get drinks somewhere else. Just the yeah. six of us. Not like, okay, girls, you can go now. That was so bizarre. But yeah, so Brandy is there. They're obviously talking about what happened in Italy. And it basically comes down to them being like, so Brandy, Denise says you're lying. So like, what's good? And Dorit, it's very clear that Dorit and Erica are leaning more on the side of believing Denise.
No. Erica believes Brandy.
Well, Erica is with Dorit at the beginning, before we see the texts.
Because Erica needs to hear, like, all sides of it.
Right. And I think for Dorit and Erica, I think they are kind of, it doesn't make sense why Kyle and Teddy are so ride or die in Brandy's corner right now. Because they're not close with Brandy. Kyle has, as much as Kyle wants to say that she's never called Brandy a liar, that's not true. She has, you know, tweets and past episodes and stuff of saying that Brandy can't be trusted. And so
that is different than a liar, though. That is a little bit different.
I understand for Dorit and Erica why it's weird to watch Kyle and Teddy all of a sudden be like, well, Brandy said, this is what Brandy said. But then the kicker is when Brandy pulls out her phone and goes to the texts. And I think a lot could be said about the content of the texts and what that does or doesn't mean. But when it comes down to it, there are texts plural, many, lots of texts, as Erica says, pages and pages and pages of texts to scroll through.
Right, and the problem with that is Denise lied about their, forget about the whole intimacy of the situation. Denise lied and said there was absolutely zero friendship. So for you to text, because at first I was like reading into this weird when I was watching it. I was like, well, the text to me, in my opinion, don't like give away much. I'm like, that's not like, of course, Rinna was like, this is intimate. I was like, no, it's not. Like they, that's how girlfriends like talk to each other. But there is a friendship there. Like you do not text someone right. that much if you are not friends with them. And Denise lied about that there being a friendship. Not only did she lie, she was like pleading that there was no friendship. Like she was like making right. the girls like seriously believe there was, they've never talked before. And in this case, sorry, 1 point for Brandy.
I don't, yeah, it's really puzzling kind of Denise's strategy of going about this whole thing, because I think she could have had a really compelling case if she was like, you know, Brandy and I are friends, but I don't know why she's saying this shit about me. And like, please don't talk about this. It's really upsetting me. Whereas now she's made herself look bad because we know for a fact she's lying about her friendship with Brandy. And it's so stupid because it's like, you knew that Brandy must have had all those texts. She didn't forget that they talked all those times. And so to make mm-hmm. it sound like she just had met her a couple times and did her podcast as like a favor to her is, I hope they address that at the reunion, because I want to hear Denise explain why she said that.
Right. And side note, I'm also so pissed that Garcelle wasn't there for this whole interaction, her and Sutton, like, I because I would have loved to see her opinion. I love like Garcelle's reactions to these things. But the one thing I do agree with Rinna in the sense where she said, like, why would Denise lie about having a friendship with Brandy? Like, it's just kind of, I feel like that kind of turned into Denise's web of lies. She was like, well, if I right. tell them I have a friendship, that this sexual thing can come out. The thing I don't agree with, which they're taking to the next level, is that Kyle and Rinna especially are like, we are involved. Like, this has to do with, no, it doesn't. Like, it actually has less than nothing to do with you guys just because you know about it. It's not like you found out one of your friend's husbands cheated on her and like now you know and you have to tell. You guys don't have anything to do with this. Like, both right, parties and know that you guys know the information. So it's not like you're hiding anything from anyone. Like, stop involving yourself in this. It's very bizarre.
And not only is it Denise and Brandy's, you know, personal shit, whatever, but they're not close with Brandy, really. Lisa Rinna is not close with Brandy Glanville. And they're not good friends with Denise at this point because they're, like, coming for Denise. And so it's like, yeah, you literally have no, you have no investment in this situation other than the fact that you're on a TV show and you want drama on the TV show, which of course we like when there's drama on the TV show, but it feels very transparent that they're inserting themselves in something that really has nothing to do with them.
I agree. Ugh. And also, we forgot to mention Garcelle coming for Rinna at the table again, but the way she does these things, no matter what she does, I feel like these women just can't get mad at her. She like apologizes right after. She's like, I'm sorry. I was just like messing right. with you. Like she's, I'm like, why are you so cool?
I've loved these past few weeks seeing Garcelle really seem more comfortable speaking her mind with the group and pointing things out that bother her. And I think I really, really hope she's back next season, because I think she, so far we're seeing, she has this quality where she's not afraid to kind of stir shit up, but she does it in a way where it feels like she's actually making a point rather than just being messy. And yes. I want to see that more. And I would love to see more of like a season long arc versus just like, I'm going to point out this one thing to Rinna and then apologize 5 minutes later. But I love Garcelle obviously. And I think these last couple episodes have been really promising as she's kind of like gotten into it more.
Yeah. Also, one more thing. This is very Dorit. when they were waiting to surprise Teddy, which was the least anticlimactic surprise I've ever seen in my life, by the way, did you notice when they were all getting in their positions, Dorit was like, Dorit got in like, she was like, okay, you go there. And she went in the front, fixed her hair and stuck her leg out. Like she was like posing for the surprise.
She's like, you guys, you, it's the Buca di Beppo surprise baby shower by Dorit.
Also like next week is the finale.
I can't believe
where
it.
Where all of a sudden, I feel like we came to like a screeching halt. Like, what the hell?
I know. And I think it probably had a lot to do with they got back from Rome. Yeah. I don't think they filmed much after that other than the Chicago stuff, the baby shower, the season finale. Like, I think they were mostly done with filming, but obviously they needed to wrap up these loose ends. But I wish we were getting like a couple more episodes.
I know. But I knew this was going to happen. Like, I knew it was going to be an entire, like, season of, like, leading up to it. And then it happened in, like, one, two episodes, and now we're at the finale. Like, I called this from the beginning. I knew it was going to happen, but I'm just ready. Honestly, at this point, let's just skip the finale where we know it's all an episode of Denise lying, and let's just get to the reunion.
We do see Camille on the finale, though. That should be fun.
Yeah, it's always fun when Camille makes an appearance.
Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three-beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, we have to get into Below Deck Med. This episode was the episode, I would say, to end all episodes. We saw this week record high ratings for 5 seasons of Below Deck Med. This is the highest rated episode ever.
And we also see the entire internet coming for Malia and Captain Sandy.
Guys, this is major. So last week we saw the kind of the beginning of the end, and the photo got sent to Captain Sandy. She sat Hannah down. This week, of course, she begins by saying that she has to fire Hannah. We all knew it was happening, of course, but the way it happened was just so frustrating because, look, I think we're on the same page about this. Correct me if I'm wrong. I have no issue with whatever maritime law they're following. I get it. The rules are the rules. I don't begrudge Sandy having to do her job. Clearly there are rules. I don't know all the rules, whatever. The thing is, all of it has this kind of like sheen of that mental health is like some issue. And the fact that Hannah had an anxiety attack makes her hard to trust. And she has these, you know, secret drugs on board. And it's like, the whole thing just feels so gross. And they could have done it in a way that didn't feel like that if they needed to fire her.
Yes, I agree with you to an extent because the way they did it was ridiculous. I mean, we even see they do another clip of Malia talk going and ratting out Hannah for having an anxiety attack, by the way. You see the clip and Malia tells Captain Sandy, Hannah was crazy last night. You do not say that about someone who is having an anxiety attack. That is, I was like sick when I saw that. So not even to mention that was just another time Malia went and like tattled on Hannah. But yeah. Yes, I agree with you. The maritime law, of course, it's the law. And when Captain Sandy put it in perspective where if something, God forbid, were to happen, these people need to be on top of their game. But then she did twist it into something where she wouldn't be able to trust Hannah. And like, that's not right. A lot of people have had or have anxiety attacks. That doesn't affect their job or their career. It's just the way she said where she can't trust her, as if it was an emergency and Hannah would just be like, I can't help you right now. I'm having an anxiety attack. Like that's not what was happening.
Yeah.
And it was not comfortable to watch.
That's like Malia, I thought was it was frustrating the way she went about reporting it. And Sandy, it's like everything she was saying, it's like, you don't, if she broke the rule, just say she broke the rule, so she can't be on the boat anymore. Everything after that she said about, you know, what if she overdoses? What if, you know, she's she can't be trusted? It's like, it's one thing to have those thoughts in your head, but nobody needed to say it. That you don't.
Right. And
it happened.
Yeah. And let's not ignore the fact. Go ahead.
When Hannah was out on the dock and Sandy went to talk to her, it was kind of like, what do you expect her to say to you right now?
I know.
Not only did she just get fired, which is upsetting, disappointing, whatever, but the way in which you did so really made it feel like she had done some, you know, horrible thing that made her a bad person, when really it's just like, you didn't register the medication. Sorry. That's the rule.
Right. And Hannah even said she was like, aware of it. She said, that was my fault, that I'm fully aware of. I didn't register it. She goes, but I wanted, like, she's been wanting to leave, but she said, obviously not like this. And you know what's funny? Hannah's not new to this. Like, she really must have not realized she registered it, because like, she didn't hide it. She was like, yeah, I have it. But were you dying when after Captain Sandy fired her? She goes, can I have my Valium back?
Oh,
I was
so
like,
good.
What about your CBD pen? What about your CBD pen?
it just left such a weird taste in my mouth. And also, it's like kind of sad. We saw at the end of the episode the trailer for the rest of the season. And it's weird that Hannah's just not in those episodes. I'm not used to it yet. But
yeah,
sorry, go ahead.
When Hannah started packing her bags in the middle of the boat and Malia approached her and Hannah gave her that smirk, knowing she wanted Malia. Oh, you could see through Hannah's eyes in that scene. I was like, oh my God, oh my God. Malia, that little, like, she was standing there. She knew what she did. You knew what you did. And I thought, I can't believe Hannah held her composure. I really thought Hannah was going to like go in, but she took the high road and she like let Malia know without saying anything that she knew what Malia did. Mm-hmm. And it was just so awkward and weird. And let's not forget that Malia knew about Valium days before, but chose that day to send a picture to Captain Sandy.
Honestly, props to Hannah for keeping it together. She did a great job. And she, you know, when she was walking around, she said goodbye to everyone. It was, I really, you know, I love Hannah. I've loved her on all those seasons. I'm going to miss her, but, you know, I get it. We now have Bugsy being promoted to Chief Stew. Obviously, no surprise there. I will say, I don't have a big problem with Bugsy. But I think it'll be interesting to see. We've always kind of seen her as this perfect, overachieving second Stew who's kind of making Hannah look bad. And I'm interested to see, now that she's in the Chief Stew position with all eyes on her, if she will kind of rise to the occasion. And I hope that we see her kind of, you know, having some ups and downs, because I think that'll be kind of exciting.
Yes. And I think that she works differently under pressure, but it was very funny. Like, we texted about this last night when Bugsy was like, Hannah, should I start unloading the drinks? And Hannah goes, I don't care. Cause Bugsy didn't know at that point that Hannah was fired. So Bugsy's face was like, what do you mean? And then she, it was kind of like at one point, two different episodes I was watching, Hannah getting fired and all this drama, and Bugs in her interview was all dolled up, and she goes, well, guess I'm promoted to chief stew. She goes, not the way I wanted to, but I am. So guys, picture this crazy, ridiculous situation. A new charter is starting. We have a new chef who we will get into that mess of a situation. We have no chief stew. Now our second stew is promoted to chief stew. Now Jess is excited because she's like, wait, she's third stew. She's like, does this make me second stew? And then we pan to Sandy calling for a second stew, which means that Jess is still third stew.
Poor Jess.
Jess will never not be third stew. It's like this, guys, the lineup of like, the ranking is, I think, out of all the shows, the funniest thing in the entire world. I think it is so funny. It really, like, when you think about it, is hilarious that there's a ranking. And it's, we're in real life. I know.
But speaking of the chef, we have Tom taking over, and he is not doing great, I would say, so far. We had some shells in the oysters. The lobster was raw.
Don't mention birthday cake to Chef Tom.
The birthday cake. I feel like it's funny because since he's Malia's boyfriend, we kind of got this like glowing description of Tom all season long. And then it's, you know, episode one and he's already having a tough time. I think we will see more of that throughout the rest of the season, but.
Yeah. He was having like a little bit of a hissy fit, but maybe it was the first day. He's a little stressed. He didn't have the right tools. But it is true. Like, you're right. Like, we see this, like, this crazy description, and then we see his resume, and they're making him really seem like this chef. They do this for all the chefs, that they're these crazy, ridiculous, miraculous chefs, and then they fail. We just need him to make nachos, and then we will really know if he's a keeper.
Okay. Tom, if you're listening to this, if you could just make us some nachos on like Instagram Live or something, and we will judge them.
Dylan, who is your Bravo Leb of this week?
I am going to give it for maybe the last time to Hannah Farrier. Gone, but not forgotten. God. And they better do a reunion because God knows we need to see the wrath of Hannah.
Okay, but honestly, I feel like if they were to do a reunion, it would be that type of situation where Hannah wouldn't come. I hate to say it, but I just like envision that.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
We're like talking about something so hypothetical.
We still have 8 episodes left, so we've got a couple more months of Below Deck Med, which is great because Beverly Hills and New York are going to end soon.
Yes, so 8 episodes sounds like so much, but my Bravo Leb is... I honestly want to say it's Dorit because she did a great job. She was very proud of her Capri room, and just the Buco di Beppo experience last night was something I'll never forget.
You loved Buco di Betches. It's going to be the episode title. Buco di Betches.
I was laughing. Yes. No, please do. amazing. Guys, thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with a fun episode of New York and Million Dollar Listing. So stay tuned and don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.